Praise the Lord. The Lord is good and His goodness endure forever. Let's open our Bible to Psalm 16. A Miktam of David. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood, or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion in my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness, your faithfulness. Thank you, you make it possible that we can come together and read your word and hear your message and meditate on your goodness and your faithfulness. Lord, I pray that you give clarity to the message and give me word and verses and speak to your people, O God, what you want them to know and what you want them to do. Lord, take full control, Lord, and let the Holy Spirit take the message and bring it to those who are waiting to hear your word. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Master. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 16, they have very beautiful promises, very beautiful privileges we receive from the Lord. But before we speak about the privileges, God wants to see certain things in our life. There are certain criteria God wants to see it clearly in each and every one life, an action and deed, before we can enjoy the promises of the Lord. In verse 1, say the word of God, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. The first thing that God wants to see in our life is fully trust in the Lord. It is easy to say that I trust the Lord, but are you really fully trusting your life to God? God will allow certain situations that will pass through, a very difficult situation, hardship, trials, persecution, critical, and some certain situation. Really, God would allow it that we would not like to pass through it. But God would allow it in our life. So He will see whether really we are fully trusting Him. In the book of Daniel, when they throw Daniel into the lion den, the word of God say to us that Daniel was lifted from the lion's den, and no wound was found in him because he trusted in the Lord, his God. God would allow certain situations and circumstances that you pass through. It's like that you are thrown into the lion den. He wants you to show that you are fully trusting in him. He allow it to happen in your life, to build the full trust in the Lord. Yes, you say, I trust in the Lord. But also you have friends that you trust them. you rely on them, and if they have, if you have a problem, then you say, I keep one friend, those friends, they would help me when I have a problem. Sometimes you trust on your money, you keep some money, because that, it is important to say, but our trust not on what we have from money, our trust is in the Lord our God. Sometimes we trust money, and then God will show us, even in certain circumstances, money cannot save us, cannot help us. We trust our jobs, we trust our professions, we trust our degrees, but God will allow that we pass through certain circumstances, that all these things cannot save us, but only the Lord God Almighty. Sometimes you are not aware, you are relying on certain people to help you, to support you, and you keep them, and gradually your focus is on those people who can help you, who can save you, who can protect you, and they would become idol in your life. And God would allow certain hardship, that even those who want to help you, even those who wish you good, they would not be able to do anything for you, because God wants you to fully trust Him. It is not enough to trust the Lord, but you have to fully trust in the Lord. And that is the first thing God wants to see in your life, to fully trust in Him. The second criteria that God wants to see in your character and personality, in verse 2, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. God must be everything in your life. God must be all things in your life. Certain time we focus, and you focus on the things that you don't have. Oh, I don't have car, I don't have children, I don't have yet family, I don't have this degree, I don't have that capital or that money. Yes, we may not have a lot of things, and the list may be long. But the question is, God is not enough for you? Is God cannot fill this space in your life? We must learn that God is everything, and God can fill the space, and God can fill what we like in our life. What we like, God can fill it. As long as God is there in our life, God can fill the space that is still lacking in our life. God wants us to wait patiently upon Him. Story of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah had been blessed by the Lord abundantly. But there was a space in their life. They don't have a child. They don't have Isaac yet. But the question is, God is not enough for them. That is the challenge here. You have everything, but there are certain one more request from the Lord. God is not yet answering it. God wants you to wait, not to be in hurry, and do something that will hinder and cause a trouble in your life. Adam and Sarah, while they are waiting for the Lord, they were in a hurry. They go ahead and choose to have Hagar as an option for Abraham and Sarah to have children. But we know they get Ishmael, but then once Hagar was pregnant, trouble started in their life. And to this very day, we are troubled by what Abraham and Sarah did wrong. In the book of Ruth, a family that had been affected by famine, that has affected area of Bethlehem in Judah. There was a family, Elimelech family. They decided to go to Moab because of the famine. God was not enough for them. They don't want to suffer for the Lord, to stay with them, that in the place that God wants them to stay. They move out. They went to Moab. But they went as a husband and wife and two sons. They went there. They stayed there for 10 years. But what was the outcome? The two sons, they married non-believer woman, both of them die, and Elimelech die. They end up in misery. When we choose to have Moabic option to relieve our trial, then we are inviting troubles into our life. God have to be everything in our life. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. If we are having God in our life and we are having a trial, we need to trust in the Lord that He will be the one to fill the space until He come and bless us. You don't need to look to what you don't have or the spaces that need to be filled. God can fill it. You need to wait upon Him. It's enough that the Lord is in our life. The third point that God wants to see in our life and character. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. God wants us to be in the fellowship of the saints, those who fully committed to the Lord, those who fear God and walk in His ways. God wants us to be part of them. People, they delight in the fellowship of friends, parties, and go with non-believers, spending time in gossips and foolish talk and jokes and cold joking with people who are away from the Lord. God does not want to see that in our life. Do not be yoked with non-believers. For what is common between the temple of God and the temple of devil? God wants us to be drawn more to the body of the committed, those who are committed to the Lord and to His church. God wants us to be part of them. Be careful also. They are false believers. They are those who are called a Christian, but they are troublemakers. We should not be part of them. Be careful about that. God wants us to be in the right fellowship with the people who love God, who fear God, and who walk in His ways. This will be our delight. Your delight to be in the Bible study. Your delight to be in the prayer meeting. Your delight will be in the church meeting. And whatever place that you had assigned to the work service and ministry, you need to be faithful to the church that you are committing your life to the Lord in that house of God. And whatever commitment that we need for the church, we need to do in attendees, in giving tithes and offering, and go along the vision of the church that God had to place us in. The fourth point that God wants to see in our life, and the Lord want to see it in our attitude and character, as we read it in verse 4, the sorrow of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. God does not want us to worship idol. Born again a Christian, they are those who decided to leave their old religion and idol worship and come to the Lord. But we must define what is idol worship. The Word of God teaches us here more clue about it. Say in verse 4, who run after other gods. We may not run after idol, worship idol, but we may run after other things. You may run after money, after ambition, after building a famous name. This becoming your idol. We should not run after other things that God contradicts in His word. You should not run after your ambition. Selfish ambition is the work of the flesh. He says also in verse 4, I will not pour out their libations of blood. Idol worship, part of the idol worship is to offer sacrifices to the idol. A goat or ox or cow and slaughter it and pour out the blood for that idol. This sacrifice is costly, it costs money, effort and time. The question here that God wants to ask you, God give you strength, give you money, give you resources. Are you investing this in the kingdom of God or investing it in other directions? Some people, they direct their money, their strength and their time to do their own plan, to build up their own future. This becoming idol in their life. The strength and the resources that God give you is for Him. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and with all your strength. All what we have, we offer it. We pour our life for the Lord. If God give us good hands to serve Him, if God give us money to tithe it and to offer and to support the work of God and mission of the Lord, all what we have, our knowledge, the wisdom He give us, the parts of our body, we offer it as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Or take up their names on my lips. Sometimes we are not aware. We are trusting people. We are trusting medicine. We are trusting certain things. And always coming into our lips, it becoming like idols. God wants us to fully trust Him and not to bring other names as a source of trust in our life. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23, is defined what God wants us to deal with idol. How God wants us to deal with it in verse 24. Do not bow down before their gods, or worship them, or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. How we do that? Do not bow down before their gods. We should not bow down to idols. You see, people who worship idols, when they reach the temple of that idol, or they reach the statues, they will bow down or they kneel down before it. How the born again Christian, they bow down. They bow down when they agree with the wrongdoing, when they agree with sin, and they know they will nod head up and down. They will agree. When we agree, we are bowing down to idol or follow their practices. For each and every idol have a doctrine. The application of that doctrine is the practices and the tradition that the people follow. If you are born again, you have left the idol worship, but you still do the practices, the traditional things that came from parents, came from culture, and contradict the word of God and the teaching, you are still in idol worship. He say you must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. That is must be a clear stand, not to agree at all, and not to compromise, and not to condone, and not to cover up. People, they will get very upset, and that's what he say here. You must demolish their sacred stone. When you break a building or you break a wall that somebody have, he will get upset with you. And that is when you disagree with the practices and the religion and the false teaching that's so rampant nowadays. God wants us to be clear-minded and wants us to be aware from idol worship. So that 4 criteria that God wants to see in our life before we receive the promises in Psalm 66 is the following. Full trust in the Lord. The Lord is my refuge. God is everything in my life. I delight in the fellowship of believers, not on watching TV or friends, or spending much time in the Facebook and worldly things. And 4, away from idol worship, tradition, and cultural things that away from the word of God. Then the promises of the Lord will flow in our life. Verse 5, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. My portion of food and my drink, the Lord will provide it, and I will enjoy my life in His presence. You have made my lot secure. What is assigned to me and what is belonged to me and what had been given to me, no one would be able to take it. This is my lot. It becomes secure. Nothing will be taken away from it. Verse 6, the boundary lines have fallen for me in a pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Clearly my inheritance, clearly my belonging, clearly my ministry, clearly the blessing of the Lord from material or spiritual things will be really well demarcated. No one will enter or trespass or invade or do wrong things against me, because the Lord will watch over my life. In verse 7, the more blessing we are flowing in our life as we obey, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. We receive counsel. We receive a right advice. We receive a right decision from the Lord. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Our heart will be at peace at night. Whatever situation or circumstances or difficulty, still we are at peace and we can sleep, because our hearts are filled with the Holy Spirit, because we are in obedience to the Lord. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. We will have the clear confidence that the Lord is with us. He is at our right hand. He is very near to us. And that gives us confidence. We will not be shaken at all circumstances. Some who are listening, or some who are thinking and meditating on the message, you may say that I have seen people, they don't follow God, but they have a lot of material blessing. You are right. The word of God does not say that the wicked or disobedient will not have material things. But the word of God clearly say that the wicked will not have eternal life. They may have material blessing now. Or some of you who disobey God and live in disobedience, you may have material things. And you may say, I have all that. But you will not have eternal life, and you will not have what they will not have what is written in verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure. You speak here about the death. We know that when we die, we will be in heaven with the Lord. Our soul spirit will be with the Lord, and the Lord, when He will come, we will be with Him, and our body will be raised up on the last day and to be with the Lord forever. The wicked, they will not have these promises. Maybe they will have food or a drink. Even they may have good sleep. They may have good health. They may have all the material things that you think about it. But they will not have eternal life. And that is very important. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. In verse 10, that is a promise about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He will die, and He will be buried, and He will be raised up on the third day. And we, who belong to Him, as we live our life unto Him, He who raised Jesus from the dead will raise up our mortal bodies. You may say, I am not rich, I don't have all material things that you are and speaking. And still, if you don't have them, God does not want you to live a life away from Him. Some people, they may live a life of obedience, but they not have the material blessing. Because God wants them to be rich toward Him. God wants us to be rich toward Him. We may have the Lord as our real and the only refuge. We have full trust in Him. He is everything in our life. We delight in the fellowship of the saint, and we are away from idol worship. But still, we may not have the material blessing, but God wants us to be continue rich toward Him, so that we will have eternal life. In the parable that the Lord spoke in the Luke chapter 12, the parable of the rich fool, there's a man who is rich, and he was only concentrating and focusing and to collect more money, more material things, becoming his idol and his focus. And finally, the Lord say about him in verse 20, Luke 12, verse 20, but God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Verse 21, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. God wants us to be rich toward Him. What is stated in Psalm 16, verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4, is the criteria how to be rich toward God, how to draw near toward God. Then, even if you will not have material blessing, now we will have abundant blessing in eternity. And that's what he says in verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. This is the path of life. In the book of Acts, they were speaking about the Christian, about the follower of the way. And that is the way and the path of life. And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." The way is the way we live our life toward God. The way to reach God the Father in heaven through obeying the word of God, the word of Christ, and fully trust Jesus Christ and His blood on the cross as atonement for our sin as we repent and have faith in Him. You will fill me with joy in your presence. As we have these things and attitude and character in our life, we are rich, we become rich toward God, and we are filled with joy in His presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. That is confirmation to have eternal life. In Christ and in obedience to His word, we are saved, and we have confirmation that we have eternal life. Let's come to the Lord, and let's make our focus to be rich toward God, to have full trust in Him. God should be everything in your life. The fellowship of the saints should be your delight, and to be away from idol worship, from worldliness, traditional and cultural things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that give understanding and wisdom. Lord, direct us and teach us and remind us and correct us and show us the areas that we need to correct in each and every one's life. Lord, as we put our full trust in you, as we take you as you are everything in our life, and we delight in the fellowship of the saints, and to be away from all the form of idol worship, you will be the one to secure to us all what you had promised, and to live with you eternal life forever. Lord, I pray for each and everyone who hear the message, encourage, strengthen, O God, help and support, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let your word be taken, O God, to those who are in need for this message, to give encouragement, to give hope, to give healing, to show clearly the way of life to them. I pray that people will repent as they hear your word, they hear this message. I pray that the purpose that you sent this message will be accomplished, O God. I pray for 100-fold of harvest. We thank and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.